Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
Makes me taste stuff that ain't even in my mouth. Every time I hear that, y'all, there might just be some prophecy in that statement. Trump didn't know it, but it was some anointment on that statement talking about some you or fake news. He might have thought it was just funny, but it's so true. It has opened up our eyes to find out what's really good, who really is behind that big old curtain up in there talking about I'm the Wiz. Nah, man, you ain't nobody but some crooked, stinking, dirty Democrats and liberal media behind that curtain working some operations and some, you know, all of that mess. No, we ain't buying it. So welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I try to make some sense out of nonsense. Today is Wednesday, and if you are just joining the show, we had a little rap intro for a minute, you know, just reminiscing. You know, I reminisced for a while. I should have said think back 22 years ago to keep it on track. Reminisce for a while to get loose and do some mic checks, and now we're ready. Now, if you are joining my show for the first time, please hit that like button, share this video, all that good stuff. Feel free to comment. I love reading your comments as we go. I like to see who's online, who's checking in, that good stuff. If you're having trouble with some viewing issues, because you know how YouTube is. They're like, is he on? It's Wednesday, right? He did say it. We've been listening the whole time. He said Wednesday's at 7:30, right? All right, so power down everything. See, so if you're having some problems, let me know. I'll toggle back and forth between the Wi-Fi and all that good stuff. And then finally, if you do call into the live show to the number behind me, press 1, and then I will bring you on, and we'll have a little quick chit-chat, long as you're not coming in with some filth, farm filth. You know, I can't do that because we're trying to keep the show on the air. And you know how it is. Any excuse to shut it down, they will. Now, with that being said, oh, yeah, you know, this gets me loose, gets me in the mood every single time. That's right, y'all. And speaking of gorillas, I ran across a little audio on the internet the other day. Now, I don't know if this is a real, you know, audio, but I thought it was funny, so I want to put my disclaimer out there. I cannot verify this audio. Apparently, it has some MSNBC logos on it, and it's supposed to be a pilot in the cockpit just talking to the people that's flying with him. I don't know if it's real or not, and I'm just saying, I'm not here to support this man's views or criticize it. I'm just here to listen to him because I thought it was funny. So here's this guy, and if this is real, then he's a real gorilla.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, from the flight deck. This is your captain. Welcome to Flight 315 from Houston to Albuquerque. Donald Trump is still the president. It is a reminder to everybody here that we do have a federal mask mandate, which is for the coronavirus, which does not exist. I am against it. And if you come up to the cockpit, which you can do because the door is open in violation of FAA guidelines, because I'm not afraid of nobody, you'll see that I am not wearing my mask. I encourage you to not wear your mask as well. We'll have you on the ground pretty early today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have started our initial descent. Joe Biden is a communist Chinese puppet. Flight attendants, please prepare the cabin for arrival. We live in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Albuquerque. We're just waiting for the gate right now. We should have a gate opening up pretty soon. Hopefully, I'll see you all at the Capitol, if you know what I mean. All right. God save the Queen.
This is our house.
Hilarious. I don't know who put that together, and I don't know if it's real or not. All I know, though, is whoever did it is either funny or extremely bold. If that is an air pilot, because, you know, he's fired by now. We all know that. If this is a real segment that was put on, you know, MSNBC, even if the dude was joking, because we've now learned that the left, they don't joke. They don't know how. I guess that was also not installed in them when they were on that assembly line, just like gender and all of that stuff. That wasn't installed in them either because, you know, there's no woman, there's no man. That chip was just left out of them. The funny chip, the common sense chip, the reasonable chip, the non-emotional, just going crazy, whining, flipping out, all of that stuff, they put that in there. They put the irrational chip in. They put the hyperbolic chip in. They put the I'm going to lose my mind chip in. They put that driving us conservative crazy chip in. They put all of that in them. But that common sense chip got left out. And speaking of common sense, Joy Reid, y'all, Joy Reid, the worst human on TV, had the nerve to try to do a segment that did not involve what? Racism. But instead, it involved some propaganda trying to defend the Democrat Party and Joe Biden and all of his stupid choices. So I figured we might as well enjoy her Tweedly D and Tweedly Dump because she brought in a special dummy. This is a special guest dummy coming in, y'all. Oh boy, y'all going to love this one. Elizabeth Warren, y'all. So let's hear them two try to tag team and make me believe that the economy is doing great. Here we go.
This is our hire, which is never good. But Americans are also spending a record amount of money that was pent up during the pandemic. Economic 101 will drive prices up, a.k.a. inflation. And that sounds like how much we want to spend.
Okay,
and
wait a minute, Joy. So you're not just a race baiter? You're a propaganda? Okay, you're a propaganda-ater? So she right now is like the Terminator of propaganda and race baiting. She's a propaganda-ater and a race baiter. So now here she is talking about some, it's because all that money was pinned up like I guess some type of constipation, and then we just let it all flow after Joe got in. We felt extremely confident with the economy and just start spending our chips, which in return made all of the producers and stuff say, hey, folks are buying like crazy, man. How about we price gouge? How about we increase inflation? How about that? Or could it be that Joe's economic policies, whether people are buying or not, has driven inflation up? Because, see, I remember under Trump, people were buying like crazy. I mean, consumer confidence was out of the roof, but yet prices were still low. It's funny how that didn't work back then when they probably could have gotten away with it, when people were real confident with the money and the dollar and the jobs and all of that stuff, the economy. But now all of a sudden, when the economy's rocking, the wind blowing, ship about to flip over. Here she is talking about that. What I guess, you know, the producers are real confident because they're looking at us going, man, they're buying up stuff. So let's go ahead and increase the prices. So here she is trying to put a spin on this. But yes, she's supposed to be some type of well-balanced, non-partisan commentator or whatever. That sounds like she's the press secretary for the White House. That's what that sounds like. Almost. Just, I literally probably could swap her out in Chocolate Drop. Actually, Chocolate Drop does a better job than her. So does, and this is sad to say, as raggedy as Patty is. Raggedy Patty is real raggedy. But she almost comes across a little more genuine than Joy Reid. But Joy Reid will get out there and do exactly to the 10,000th of what those folks do for the White House. So she might as well just be working for the White House. But let's finish hearing her use this propaganda to try to trick us into thinking that things are going great.
We can get into our hands quickly is contributing to how pessimistic many Americans feel about the economy. Oh, and that lack of confidence has translated into a drop in Biden's approval rating.
Oh, that's what it is? Yeah. It's not all of the other decisions that this man made, right? It ain't got nothing to do with him getting out there, community college. And you know what? The way you prepare for a hurricane is to get vaccinated now. Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with Afghanistan, nothing to do with all these mass mandates and nothing to do with him coming out pushing all these racial narratives and making all these decisions to destroy our economy like the pipeline, shutting that mess up. Nothing to do with that, right, Joy? Nothing to do with that. This woman's a 100% bona fide, pure propagandist. She's earning every dollar of her prostitution, y'all. Every single, she is going overtime. She's working day and night. They got Joy working day and night. Yeah, they got Joy working day and night. Got her working day and night.
In part because Republicans are seizing on inflation and blaming Joe Biden for it personally.
Who else to blame? Isn't he the president? After watching 4 years of y'all blaming Trump for everything, look at it. It's raining outside. That darn Trump. You know what, Trump? This goes out to you. I can't stand in the rain. Against my window. Yes, because Trump brought the rain against my window today. Ugh, that man's disgusting. So for 4 years, we've heard them blame Trump for every single thing. And here she is talking about the Republicans are blaming Joe Biden. Who else is there to blame? If he's not the man, get me in touch with the man that's making those decisions. See, I'm going to have to treat her like they treated one of my boys when we played at Miami University. And the coach asked him a question, and my boy, who was responsible? He said, I don't know. The coach said, if you don't know, who knows? That's what I want to know. If Joe is, oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Maybe we need to call Joe's husband. Should we call Joe's husband? Or how about Nancy Pelosi? Maybe Soros. I mean, there's a lot of folks right now I question that they might just in control. Because you're trying to say that Joe's not the man. That's what you're telling me? He is always saying, yeah, I'm going to get in trouble. So you could have some truth to that by accident, though, because she don't know that she's stuck, because that's against the rules. She ain't allowed to purposely tell the truth. So here we go.
Which is a fun twist after Republicans and Trump maxed out the national credit card on tax cuts for the super rich and a partial wall that Mexico was supposed to pay for.
Maxed out the credit card with the tax cut for the super rich, which also led to the lowest unemployment rates of all times. We had the Muhammad Ali of low unemployment. That's what I mean. He was literally, you know what? I brought the unemployment rate down to the lowest it's ever been in all times. Yes, it was great. Because guess what? Those tax cuts trickled down, and those businesses started giving raises and hiring folks, and folks were happy. We were all in the middle of the street singing to the beat of the rhythm of the night, dancing to the morning light, all of that. All of us were singing, and then this woman trying to say that was bad. Are you kidding me? So that was bad. And what else did she say? She said tax cuts and something else. Tax cuts. What else was a part of that last propaganda line? I don't want to misquote the propaganda.
And for it personally, which is a fun twist after Republicans and Trump maxed out the national credit card on tax cuts for the super rich and a partial wall that Mexico was supposed to build.
Oh, the partial wall that Mexico was supposed to build. Now, you know, Joyce, there's so many different ways that one could end up paying for something, whether it's directly or indirectly. For example, Joyce, those 28,000 troops cost something that they had to put on that border to make sure immigration, illegal immigration, ceased. They weren't doing that before. Do you think all of those soldiers was down there for free? That's what I'm wondering, huh? How about that Mexico and that Canada trade agreement that we haven't really prospered off of and stuff because the Democrats got in and want to shut all that down? How about the money that's been allocated towards the wall, and yet the Democrats don't even want to complete it? They just like, tell you what, just take the money, but don't finish the wall. We don't want that, because that will mess up our little nest egg of voters that we're trying to bring over here. These people are trash, y'all, and I mean trash, okay? Starting with the propagandist right here that switched it up, trying to make us think she don't only race bait. She's dimensional. Here we go.
Pay for it. And here's another thing, because a lot of people are really upset about gas prices.
Oh, well, yeah.
But people weren't driving for a year, and somehow gas prices still went up. There have been some calls to investigate these oil companies, because also they don't really like Build Back Better either, because it deals with their issues on the environment. But how is it that
she is the worst. I guess it's not obvious that she's selling, trying her best. She is a spokeswoman for Build Back Better. That's all she is. This woman has just been brought on TV to be a saleswoman for the Democrat Party. So now all of a sudden, she's trying to tell us that folks weren't driving for a year, but yet these gas prices still went up. So it ain't got nothing to do with the pipeline being shut down. Nothing to do with that, right? It ain't got nothing to do with Joe coming in first day or so, executive orders to shut down that and take us from being number one down to, I don't even know where we're at now. Are we even ranked? Are we in the bottom, 10% of folks I don't know where we're at, see. So here's Joy trying to make it seem like that Joy ain't had nothing to do with these gas prices going up. Folks weren't even driving and the prices still went up. First of all, Joey, folks were still driving, okay? They might have not been able to go to the places they wanted to go to because your party was busy ruining the economy on lockdowns. That also contributed to it. But nonetheless, now the folks are driving and our pipelines have been shut down and we're no longer producing oil and shipping it out and all of that stuff. Then yes, that drove up the price. Not folks not driving and the gas companies and stuff, oil companies going, well, you know what? They're going to start driving again. Why don't we gouge them? This woman thinks we're idiots. Well, no, she thinks her audience is an idiot, which if they're watching her, yeah, they might be a little idiot-ish. Let's continue.
But people stayed home for a year. Suddenly the price of gas went up. Can you explain that?
Yeah.
You hear the fake Indian coming in? The fake engine. Mom and Pop, they didn't want them to get married because she was marrying someone that had a little engine in them. And all of that. I'm going to go get a beer. Would you like one, huh? Husband looking at her like, what? Nah, I'm cool. Can't believe I married your fake tail. Huh? Did I say that out loud? My fault. No, hon, I'm good. See you later. It's just mess.
I'm sure. I'm
surprised she ain't got a feather in her head.
We know exactly who the oil companies, what the oil companies pay attention to, what is their number one priority, profits. Oh. And so think about it this way.
Okay.
If we really, this were just ordinary inflation, we might see prices go up.
So wait, this ain't just ordinary. This ain't ordinary inflation. This ain't creepy sleepy's fault. No, that's what you're telling me, Joy. This ain't ordinary inflation. So then what kind of inflation is this, please?
But prices at the pump have gone up. Why? Well, let me give you a hint.
Give us a hint.
Chevron, Exxon have doubled their profits.
Okay.
This isn't about inflation. This is about price gouging for these guys. So I get it.
No, you don't.
When we see prices go up, we're all concerned and the Republicans want to come in and just try to hammer.
They want to come in and show what the problem is and who's responsible for the problem. It's no different than, okay, just like y'all tried to lie to us and say every year, every single year, this huge fluctuation of illegal immigrants come. What? So it increases every year by like 1,000%. That's what you're telling us. And you want us to just go, I guess that's right. And we're not going to do a compare contrast between the president that got it to its lowest versus the president that took it to its highest in a very short amount of time. We're not going to evaluate, well, what was this guy doing that made it drop? And what is this guy doing to make it increase? And yet y'all want to sell us on simply saying this just happens every year. So what are y'all worried about? It's not our fault. It's not our choices. It's just the oil companies price gouging. Nothing to do with the economic choices of the Democrat Party. Right, Liz? That's what you're telling me. So once again, Liz is being fake. Once again, Liz is lying. Lying Liz, y'all. Lying Liz is back.
Theme about this economy. But we got to pay attention to the fact that folks like the oil companies say, I think it's just another opportunity to make profits, and we need to call them out on that.
No, we need to call y'all out on this bullcrap and this propaganda. See, because y'all called up Joy Reid like, Joy, you're our number one agent. We pay you well for our propaganda. So we're going to bring Liz on, and we're going to pretend that we're not responsible for the inflation, and I need you to help sell this Build Back Better program. Take a break. I know you've been race baiting very hard, and you're tired. You're doing a great job. Great job. But we want you to switch it up a little bit. Okay, keep people off their ballots, okay? And they try to get out there and sell us on that crap. Democrats, man. Democrats. Oh, but wait a minute. Before we move on to some serious topics, we got another situation that took place, and Michael knows, peep this one out, y'all. Democrats, once again, send CNN out there to do something, which they always do, cover for the Democrats and their corruption and all of these crazy ideas and policies they're trying to implement. And this time, they brought out, who is this chick, Nicole Wallace, maybe? I don't know. We'll see. But boy, did she make a mistake on this one. Let's hear it.
So Winsome Sears,
who
just became the lieutenant governor of Virginia.
Black lady.
She was running along with Glenn Youngkin.
Oh, sorry. The white nationalist, upper class white lady yeah, isn't she white? Oh, we didn't check. We didn't check. So we started race baiting before we figured out if she was white or black? Oh, crap. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. Our audience don't care. Let's continue because she's a white nationalist Nazi. We're bringing her on the show. Okay. That's going to be a hard sell when people actually see she's black. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because our audience don't care what their eyes see. Just like we showed them fires in the background and told them mostly peaceful protest.
Winsome Sears, a black woman herself, just went on CNN and encountered the line that we're all encountering about critical race theory. This is the official party line of CNN, namely, critical race theory is not being taught in schools. And she says that's bunk.
You oppose critical race theory being taught in schools, which I should say is not part of Virginia's curriculum. You did say, though, that the good and the bad of American history should be taught, and that we should also tell viewers you're the former vice president of the Virginia Board of Education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Now, first things first. Did Joy Reid ever answer this lady's challenge to bring her onto the show? Joy Reid never responded? Okay. All right, so now I guess CNN said we're going to step up. We're going to step up and take that challenge. Now, maybe they should have got the hint after we heard those acceptance speeches. I said to myself, she doesn't sound like one to be played with. She sounds like she knows what she's talking about. She doesn't sound like one that's going to fall for the okey-doke. But I guess CNN thought, hey, you know what? Let's give it a shot. See if fat meat has grease. And now their feet are going to be tingling late at night. Because their arteries are about to get clogged up by her. Here we go.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
No. It is part of the curriculum. Oh. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it. So it's weaved in.
I'm sorry I left you crying. Since you've been gone, I've been all alone. Whoa. I love her. I love her. Did you hear her? She said, you know what? Normally, the regular host would just sit back and say that crap to try to say, oh, crap, she's on to me, so I'm going to go ahead and pretend that I wasn't saying that, even though I am saying that, and hope she just moves on. Hope she moves on. And what did she do? She did what Kevin from Kevin's Corner would have done. I hear what you're trying to do, divert, and then pretend that you ain't just try to slide that in there. But let's back up. And address that, okay, before we go any further. Get her, girl.
So, you know, it's semantics, but it's weaved in.
So, love this. She won't let CNN get away with this. CNN says, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop. No critical race theory in schools, in Virginia schools. Beep, 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 boop. I'm a talking head on CNN. Yeah. And then the person they're talking to is the former vice president of the Virginia School Board. So she's actually, CNN lady, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I worked in this very closely. And yeah, absolutely critical race theory is being taught in Virginia schools. And we just won an election because of that.
Yeah.
And then the CNN lady is smart enough to know that she's not going to be able to win the point. She's not going to be able to refute that fact.
Now, somebody said call in. Real quick, I did notice something. They must have changed up the little icon on my call-in line because I am seeing they didn't switch it, y'all. I get a little hand up like, teacher. So let me check real quick before we finish this because this is important, how they try to mess around with the critical race theory narrative and keep folks off their rocker as if we just making this crap up. Like, man, you know what? We're just hypersensitive and all are racist and don't want folks talking about slavery. Unbelievable. Let's see. Let me check. If they did change it up, that's kind of cute, though. They got the hand up. There we go.
Unmuted.
Mostly. You're live on the air, Kevin and Kevin.
You're live on the air, Kevin Corner.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? It's Ryan.
Ryan, what's up, man? Hey, do
Ryan,
me a favor.
What's up, man? Give me a favor.
Your radio. Turn that down.
Yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, is that better?
That's perfect. There we go, man. We're shaking, man.
Man, I was. I just wanted to real quick. I wanted to get your thoughts on. We saw the Ahmaud Arbery verdict, and you know, then we of course we had the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict a few days before that. And also, it wasn't on the mainstream media. I just found out about it. Is the Florida verdict of Andrew Coffey, a younger black man who was on trial for murder, for first-degree murder of two people, and also attempted murder of a couple of police officers, and he was found not guilty on all counts down in Florida because he was defending himself because he was actually almost knocked unconscious, and he when the cops came at him, he thought he was defending him and his girl, and So he was found. So in my opinion, I always get your opinion. It actually proves their narrative wrong that the justice system doesn't work because you got the case of Andrew Coffey, you got the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, both of them not guilty when you look at the facts and evidence, and then you get the case of Ahmaud Arbery where they hunted him down in prison and hunted him down. And you see that it works, but then they say, oh, it doesn't work for black people, it doesn't work. And I'm thinking, okay, how does it not work? I understand in the past it has been to a certain degree, but now in 2021, I don't see it. And I just, and then one other quick point is with the supply chain crisis. And I get people at work to come up and they're like, oh, why don't you have, I told you this before, but they're like, I had a guy today and he really wanted to know. And I told him, I was like, I really think that a lot of this was created artificially. I think that, and I didn't go into too much detail, but with you, I tell you that I honestly think I never saw this in 2020 when the pandemic first started. Never saw any of this going on. We had all the coronavirus was going running rampant, and we still could get chicken. We still could get stuff. And then all of a sudden this came out of nowhere. And I've heard things about where the government was buying up farms and buying up subsidies and telling them not to, you know, produce food and certain amounts of food. And it just, to me, it just seems like, where did this come from? Out of nowhere. I mean, how do you get something out of nowhere? I'm 36 years old. I ain't never seen nothing like this. And didn't do it in the first year of the pandemic, how's it doing it now?
Exactly. Hey, man, you hit it right on the head. I'm going to touch on both of those. But first, I did not hear anything about the operation. What was the verdict?
The verdict, they found all three of them guilty on all the counts of felony murder. And then the first guy, the younger guy, with the glasses, I can't remember his name, but they found him, the guy that shot him with the shotgun, they found him guilty of malice murder, which when I looked it up, it said that in Georgia, he can be sentenced to death for malice murder, meaning it was like they consider it kind of like a hate crime. As far as like the way he shot him. But the other ones were all, which in a way I don't understand why they had nine counts of felony murder for one guy on each three people. I don't understand where the nine counts of murder come from because it was only one guy they murdered.
Right.
But I don't, anyway.
Okay. All right. I'm going to touch on both of those, man. Wonderful. I'm glad you gave me a lead in actually to our next conversation. So I'm going to go ahead and comment.
Perfect.
So I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute, and I'll touch on those two questions you have, okay? And we're going to move on.
All right, Kev.
You, brother. Thanks. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, God bless.
Okay, God bless you too. Okay, so now, my man Ryan here brings up some good points. First things first, I'm just hearing about the verdict with the Aubrey case. Now, unfortunately, those three men picked the worst time in American history to be deciding to go after and investigate a black dude. You know, maybe they weren't able to read kind of the culture at this point, but they're looking for reasons to lock any white person up for even thinking about, you know, protecting your own property, your own life or whatever, especially in the case where that person seems to be going away and then you go, hey, buddy, did you, you know? So, of course, in this case, I'm not shocked. Especially considering the verdict that just came out of Kyle. When this all went down, I knew they were going to go heavy on the charges. I knew they were going to do everything they could to make sure they stacked the deck with whatever verdict they get out of these guys. Now, some things, even though you might be lawful in how you handle things. You also got to be wise in how you handle things too. Reading the culture, man, is it saying, okay, am I going to set myself up? You take, for example, the whole George Floyd situation. When the cop had him on the ground and he had his knee on the dude's neck, and you see all these cameras all, you know, taking pictures. You see black angry folks going, get off of him, get off of him, you killing him. And you're still sitting there with the look on your face like, hey, you don't tell me how to do my job. You are not aware of what powerful people are trying to push right now in our culture. There's a narrative that they are walking around with their head on the swivel looking for. And you kind of walk right into that one, where even if this dude overdosed and died, right now, the visual of that, they say, ooh, this is juicy, man. We can make this dude an eternal victim and martyr for our cause. So in this culture, you got to be real careful, because you got to also be one step ahead of what leaders are trying to do. People in our society that's trying to take us in a certain direction. So in the case of Kyle, he was always backing up. He was always saying, I'm trying to get away. And the other case, the Aubrey case, from what I can remember, the guy was jogging off and, you know, they rode up on him. And the dude probably was in some shenanigans, because I saw some videos and things like that where, you know, that it contradicted a lot of what they said. But even if they had a legitimate reason of self-defense or to use force or whatever, that's not the time, man. You can't, I mean, right about now, these guys were climbing a mountain trying to get off. And the deck was stacked against them because of the climbing. Just as folks that went into that Capitol have gotten all these heavy charges levied against them, and then Black Lives Matter and all the rest of them is not getting anything. So what's happening is you got folks that's controlling the justice system right now that are advocates. They're not there to give you fair and balanced trials and charges. I mean, the dude that ran over all them folks, that dude got out of jail, $1,000 bond. Kyle was in jail for like three months. So you see that they're trying to set folks up. They're looking for reasons to find more victims and to push a narrative in our society. That's why our cops right now don't want to even do no policing. They're sitting back going, man, I'm not going in there. Y'all saw what happened to the dude with George Floyd? Did y'all see what happened with the, you seen what happened with those that shot Jacob Blake, even though he brought it on himself? I'm not going in there, because folks are looking to say, see? So folks in our country have to be smart while these deceptive, disgusting leaders are doing everything they can to not be fair, balanced, and implement the law, but to find cases that they could kind of connect to a narrative to continue destroying our society. So yes, these guys, whatever the verdict was and whatever the details were, they were going for the maximum with them. Think about this. They went for the maximum with Kyle. They just, unfortunately, they didn't prepare properly for that one. It was just too much over amounts of evidence to say, come on, y'all. Y'all trying to say this dude did this. See, so Kyle, if it wasn't for those videos, this dude would be done. He would be absolutely done. Now, moving on to the supply chain. Getting that one other thing. So what you were saying, Ryan, you were saying, you know, people are saying that the law is not balanced and this and that. They're still trying to make us think that we are living under the certain type of legal justice system of, like, say, Emmett Till. Keep your eyes on the prize, move on. So Emmett Till, where it was blatant that if you did something as a white person, you're getting off. That was a time when those Democrats were just having their way in the legal system. So fat chance of ever getting a conviction on some white folks down in the South or whatever, if they did something to some black folks, they got away with a lot of that. And even on up through, you know, some of the 70s, depending on where you was at. But right about now, the balance has either equalized or even flipped and tipped a bit. Because right about now, I see them overcompensating for a narrative, meaning this: you can almost do whatever you want as a black person, as a Hispanic person, you can pretty much get away with anything, and they will let you off because now we have activists out there. And so what they're trying to do is paint the picture that America's evil, white folks are responsible for all that evil, and look at all of them. Look at all of them in jail right now because they're hate crimes and they're racism and stuff. And so we're going to go hard on them. And then we're going to go ahead and correct the past of all these Democrats and the justice system that was hard on black folks. We're going to correct that by going extremely easy on black folks and on illegal immigrants and whoever else. So now what has happened is for someone to say, well, nah, man, it ain't balanced, man. You know, black folks don't ever get a fair shot. These are people who are ignorant and they're not following cases. They're not actually going around looking at the evidence of a case. Perfect example of that is the reaction that all these black folks and others, white liberals, had to Kyle Rittenhouse's verdict. That still are walking around thinking he killed black folks, you know, still talking about this, still came across county lines illegally, still throwing out the narratives that came out of the fake news and the Democrats. So that is what is distorting folks' common sense and ability to look at what's really happening based on statistics and based on evidence. It's screwing us all up, and they're doing it on purpose. But now, moving on to the supply chain that he talked about, he's right about that as well. My gut tells me, my spidey senses is tingling. The force is informing me that these things are not happening by accident. Just like this, you know what, that just fell out of the air right before the election, just in time for them to start switching up voter laws in certain Democrat-ran states and stuff. There's no time for that. I don't think that was a coincidence. Also, which I'm trying to think, like the villain, not just the hero, if I was a villain that was trying to deceive a country filled with people who love their country and also have weapons, and I wanted to take over that country and their citizens and force them into certain things, I wouldn't directly jump straight at the people and get into a physical confrontation with them. What I would do is start backwards. I would start with going ahead and starting to control the supply chain, control how much gas they get. So, hey, you can't be out there forming your militias and you ain't got no petrol. You can't be out there eating bullets if the government ever did come down with tyranny. You can't eat those. So if you ain't out there hunting and all of that mess, then you're going to starve to death after a while. But we will be supplying those that are complicit, those that have sided with us. We will be giving those scarce resources to our folks that's willing to implement our tyranny, you know, whatever, people in the military or the police that side with us. All of these things, you know, these are preparations, in my opinion, to be able to say, we don't have to get into a fight with you guys if we really wanted to put the smack down on y'all. All we have to do is start controlling supply and demand. All we have to do is start becoming very scarce and saying to y'all, you don't want the, you know what? Well, hey, why would we waste water, food, chicken, and stuff like that on folks that's out there hurting our society? Why would we do that? See, just like those folks who want to go to the hospital, if you ain't get this, you're not getting no treatment. Why would we give you a kidney and you don't want to get this? You know what? Well, why would it be any different with food and other resources? That is a great way to ensure that you weaken any resistance that you might encounter later on if you up to some shenanigans. Now, that's all I got to say about that. We going to move on, y'all. I hope that addressed it because we are going to get back onto this whole narrative that's going around with Kyle and we definitely got to talk about this new dude who decided to step on the gas and run over a whole bunch of people. But let's finish with this race narrative that they push it. Here we go.
Winsome Sears. So she says, well, no. I didn't say it's not being taught. I said it's not in the curriculum.
That's what she tried to say.
Which is a distinction without a difference.
Oh, nice trick.
Even the point, the side point she's trying to make, even the retreating point she's trying to make, is not true. The curriculum is the schedule of things that are taught. If something is taught, it is in the curriculum. Well, no, it's just some one random teacher saying something. That's what the left might. They say, no, it's just some teacher going off script. No, it's not. It's being taught as a part of the program.
That's
it is in the curriculum, which is what Winsome Sears is saying.
Right.
And The way the left tries to get away with this line is they say, well, there's no unit of critical race theory. It's not as though students are taught, okay, now we're going to learn about the American Revolution, and now we're going to learn about, you know, the Enlightenment, and now we're going to learn about critical race theory, and now we're going to learn about calculus, right? It's not, that's not how it's taught.
It's not?
But that's not what critical race theory is. Critical race theory isn't a specific academic, it is a movement. It's not a specific academic field or unit.
Right.
It is an analytical framework. So it's not taught as just one thing.
Man.
Critical race theory is a lens through which you view all the other things.
I get it now, Michael. I get it. No wonder all the fake news was up there talking about these folks who's voting for this guy right here, youngster. They're voting off of ignorance. You know, it's not a thing. It's not being taught in schools. You know why? Because it's been intertwined into it. You're teaching without them knowing you're teaching it. That's what you're doing. You're teaching the kids indirectly. See, in basic conversations, today we're talking about mathematics. Okay, Rollo, you grew up, when you grew up in your family, like, I mean, where do you live? You live in a, okay, all right, Rollo lived in the hood. So Rollo, when you grew up, did your family, you know, talk about economics and things like that? No? Okay, why not Rollo? Huh? Okay. See, notice Rollo's black, so therefore he's having problems understanding balancing a checkbook. Now let's go to you, Susan. Lily White. Lily White, could you raise your hand? Stand up, Lily. Stand up, Lily. You little racist. Now, Lily is white, obviously. Obviously, Lily's white. That's not my name. What, Lily? Look, you don't tell me what your name is. You're Lily White. Now, Lily, where do you live? Where's that place at? Are there any black people there, Lily? See, that's how you teach it. Yeah, you teach it indirectly through doing stupid stuff like that in the classroom, showing the differences. Now, well, you know, Lily, do you think you feel good and privileged and you have an advantage over Rollo over here because your parents taught you about economics? See, Lily has a great advantage. That's not my name, Lily White. You shut your mouth. Okay. Now, Lily, I want you to give Rollo your lunch money, okay, because Rollo, you know, all of that. That's how you teach it. And think you're getting away with it. And think folks are too dumb to realize that you built it into your everyday interaction with the kid. And your subliminals that you plant, the activities that you try to make seem innocuous, but they're really geared towards driving a narrative. And so that gives y'all the platform to lie about it and say, well, we don't teach it. But yet, in all of those, pre-scheduled meetings with all the teachers and staff, and you're going through all of that. All right, guys, this year we're going to be heavy on whatever. We're not going to put anything down on paper because they're after us. But we want you guys to kind of, you know, weave it in. They ain't fooling me, and they didn't fool her, and that's why they got exposed. And y'all, before we get into all of this other crap, we got one more person who's about to expose something about these Democrats. None other than you know who, y'all. Mark Levin, the great one.
The election system was changed. At least the argument was ostensibly, because people didn't want to leave their homes, they didn't want to gather, so, you know, we're going to do different things and so forth, just this time, you know. But now they want to enshrine it and expand it.
Mark.
Because it's much more difficult to determine voting. Now, so let me ask you a question. If you're proposing a bill that says 16 and 17-year-olds should be able to register to vote, that doesn't mean they have to vote. Why are you doing that? What's the point of that?
Oh, wow.
If in your bill you also...
Wait a minute, Mark. Nobody ever asked them that, right? See, because, see, if you ask them that, you know what they're going to say? Because of systemic racism? Common sense voters don't ever stop. Folks that vote for these folks, you don't stop and say, no, wait a minute. Why are they trying to lower the voting age? What benefit is there to them doing this? Why are they trying to eliminate voter IDs? That's a good question. Because the last I checked, there isn't an overwhelming amount of black people who are complaining that they can't get IDs to go vote. So if we didn't bring that problem to y'all, then who did? Let's continue.
You propose eliminating voting ID. And the Democrats demand you walk around, of course, with valid vaccine passes.
Yeah, that don't make any sense.
They're not against you having passes, keeping data on you, and all the rest. But why in this one instance? Are they opposed to you having voting ID?
Good question, Mark. See, that's what you call deductive reasoning. This is what you call common sense. This is what you call connecting the dots. Because, wait a minute, you want us to get the MOTS. You want to get all in our bank accounts and know how much money we get. You want all of that. But for some reason, something so important as voting, no. No. Now, you got to think like the villain. If you wanted to cheat, what would be a key element that would allow that? Well, you're here to vote. What's your name? Pete. Pete. Pete what? Pete. Your name is Pete Pete? Yeah. Pete Pete. Okay. Okay, Pete Pete. Yeah. Here's your ballot. Go ahead and then vote. Because see, Pete Pete can go right two blocks down the street and vote again. Nobody cares. He went from Pete Pete to Steve Steve to Kevin Kevin to Bob Bob. And the list goes on. So when you want to create a real raggedy process, you start eliminating things that could hold you accountable. Huh, but I guess their voters don't see it. They think it's because of racism or something like that.
Some kind of ID. Think about it. Is it to promote voting? Why is it that in the bill that they proposed that you're not allowed to challenge anybody's vote? And if you challenge their vote, even if you're an election judge at a precinct, you could be charged criminally.
What?
Does that make sense to anybody?
No, it doesn't, Mark. See, it's kind of like when we challenge the results of the election, but and then we found out we were domestic terrorists. Did y'all remember how y'all remember how we have become domestic terrorists? See, so I guess they're setting it up to where is if we cheat and y'all catch us, we gonna punish y'all for catching us. You understand that? We setting it up to where is regardless of how obvious it is, regardless of how suspicious it might be, regardless of all of that discrepancies. Regardless of the banging and nailing up, boarding up stuff, regardless of that, regardless of those videos of folks sitting there swiping all night long, forget that mess. See, by you questioning that, you're undermining our institutions and our democracy and our fundamental, all of that mess, and you just might be a domestic terrorist. That could be why they want it to be like this, Mark, so let's continue, though.
Why do they prevent states that are supposed to be the tip of the spear when it comes to voting?
Yeah.
Why do they prevent states under their proposed legislation from cleaning their voting rolls?
What?
Including of dead people, people who might be registered more than once in different precincts because they move and so forth. Why would they do that?
Good question again, Mark. Why is it that these Democrats enjoy chaos? Why don't they like things nice and clean and cut and dry? Why don't they like transparency? Why don't they want to clean up these old raggedy voter rolls? Could it be because they want to go into those graveyards and perform their chant, oh, old school dead Democrat ghost, come back to life and vote, or they're not coming back? So then we can go ahead and fill out their ballots for them because I'm sure if they were here, they would vote for us, right? Okay. Could it be that? I'm just wondering. Let's continue.
Why would they even take the extraordinary step of saying any judge who rules in disfavor, that is against this law in some respect or so forth, that judge might have to appear before a special commission, an independent commission that's set up to explain him or herself.
So basically, if a judge got the nerve to look at some discrepancies and say, oh, I don't know about this, they'll bring that judge up there to an angry mob of Democrats. Politicians sitting up there in Washington because they want to control it and then drag his name or her name out in front of the fake news like Joy Reid and all of them. This judge out here, he's trying to undermine the elections, and then have people show up at that judge's house and make it so inconvenient that those judges will say, man, it's not even worth it. I'm not going to even disagree with these very obvious discrepancies because I don't want to be doxxed. I don't want the mob coming to my crib. Could it be that? These cats are evil.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is, Mark.
Why is it that every case that's brought challenging this law must be brought in the District of Columbia?
Yeah, take it up.
Because the Democrats control the courts there? Yeah. I can go on and on with their law.
Good.
Is that about opposing voting suppression or destroying all guardrails when it comes to voting?
I think you're on to something.
Why would you support these things?
Because you're corrupt.
Why is the Democrat Party so corrupt?
There it is. See, he hit it right on the head, y'all. So why would you support these things? Well, you would even support it for one of two reasons. If you are a Democrat politician, you're corrupt. if you are a Democrat voter, you're misinformed and ignorant. That's what you are. Because they're telling you it's because of everything than what it really is. It's because we're trying to increase voter turnout and we're fighting against voter suppression of black people that are complaining. Yeah, here we go.
You know, it wants IDs when it comes to all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Talks about taxes. Talks about, as I said, medical procedures.
Oh.
They want to keep data on parents who dare to challenge administrators and so forth. They're now tagging them.
Tagging.
Like they're terrorists.
Like
keeping them in a database.
Uh-huh.
But if somebody shows up to vote, can we see your driver's? Oh, my God, that's suppression. Oh, my God, that's aimed at minority. No, no, everybody has to. No, 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 you don't understand. These people are diabolical.
Yes, they are, Mark. They're diabolical. They're evil. See, they're trying to hit us with the James Comey. So when it came down to keeping meticulous notes about the president, right, big for nothing, James Comey was all over. See, these Democrats, when it's something to formulate a narrative, if it's something that they want to use for some corrupt purposes, and manipulation, they keep those details. They keep those. But then when it came down to other stuff that he probably should have kept details on, you know what? I don't quite remember. I heard about it, but I wasn't sure. I think I found out when you all found out when the new... Really? So you found out that Hillary Clinton paid for that dossier when it was reported on the news. That's what you're telling me, big for nothing? See, but yet you kept meticulous details about Trump in your conversations with him. Same thing with these raggedy Democrats. They're meticulous with their evil, but then when they want to do some corrupt stuff, then they want it very vague. Interesting.
It's not right versus left.
Mm-mm.
Under American Marxism, it's oppressor versus oppressed.
Bam.
And you see, those of us who support this country, regardless of our race, our religion, our backgrounds, or what have you, we're the oppressors. Because America sucks, according to these people.
Yes.
Has Robert Reich ever done one of these clips?
No.
Embracing the founding? No.
No.
Embracing our economic system?
No.
No. Embracing the great American progress we've made over the centuries?
No.
Embracing our military? No. Embracing law enforcement?
None.
No. Has he ever done anything like that? No. Come to think of it, does any Democrat? No. Biden? No. You see, they're in constant attack mode because the Democrat Party cannot survive unless there's tumult. The Democrat Party cannot survive unless we're at each other's throats. The Democrat Party cannot survive if we view each of us as individual human beings with free will.
Man, I love Mark. Oh, man, hold up. Oh. Mark came to bring the pain hardcore to the brain. That's right, man. Mark said, you know why they don't embrace this? Because they need the constant. No wonder. Everything is doom and gloom. Soon as they grab a mic, all right, I'm here to encourage and unite the country. But racist and white nationalism are standing in the way of it. And all of these systemically racist police officers and stuff and all of that. And all, you know what? The transgender community is always being attacked. And guess what? So they need that mess. That's what you're telling me, Mark, because that is Marxist conflict theory. How are you going to implement your diabolical scheme if the people love their country, if they like the system that they're living in? How are you going to reset the whole system if it ain't broke? You got to break that mess. That's how. So, Mark, you're exposing something that the dummies don't see. The ones that's helping promote this mess under the delusion of fighting for justice and equality don't realize they're fighting for Marxism. They're fighting for communism. They're fighting for fascism. They're fighting for tyranny. Thank you, Mark.
Or to be left alone. The Democrat Party needs fighting. It needs jealousy. It needs hatred. It needs division. It even needs violence. Mostly peaceful violence, mind you, but violence nonetheless.
Yes,
they need a constant state of emergency, constant state of hate,
yep,
and a constant state of attacking this country. That is a party that has never embraced Americanism.
Ever.
It's embraced slavery, segregation, separatism. It's embraced all kinds of hideous ideology.
All of it.
It has embraced what it calls democratic socialism, actually Marxism. When will it embrace Americanism?
Never.
Never.
Every shot that Kyle Rittenhouse fired.
So, Mark, before we move on into the rest of this stuff, Mark hit it right on the head. See, they do not embrace Americanism. They don't want to celebrate our soldiers. They don't care about our fallen soldiers. They don't care about the jobs of Americans. They don't care about the Midwest. They don't care about hardworking Americans. They don't care about all of that stuff. These folks might as well go ahead and move to some other country, but they would never be able to set up tyranny there because most likely the tyrannists already done established themselves there. So they're like, yo, you know what? We're going to do it here. But to do it, we got to break this whole country down. So instead of looking at all of our voters as Americans and trying to convince them individually to vote for us and our party and all of our policies, what we're going to do is we're going to make them see each other as black, white, gay, straight, tall, short, fat, skinny, dumb, smart, rich, poor, you name it. They will dissect us up into every group. They will come up with new groups. We got the environmental pro people. What else can we get at? Okay, anti-environmental people. All the rest of you, you're anti. Come on, come up with some more stuff. They will come up with some crap that will break us down to the very last compound just to keep us separated, but united on one stupid cause. So therefore, yes, you're different from everybody else, but let me understand this. All of you people feel like you're being discriminated against because you're gay? Okay. So that's what we're going to sell you all on. That's the big issue for you guys. Let's move on. Everybody, what about you guys? So you're straight? Get out of here. Get out of here. All right. Let's see. You're transgender. What does that mean again? What is our Panda book say about the transgender ones? Okay, wait. Okay. Transgender, you're not gay or lesbian, you're just kind of what in the middle. Okay, yeah, we believe that. We support that too. And people are discriminating against you all. What are you again? What are they again? Transformers? You transformers. We people hate you transformers, but we love, wait, oh, transgenders. Okay, what? Okay, anyway, you know, it's kind of the same. It was like, yo, that's what they do. But speaking of that, it played out these last couple of days in the media as we see what took place with Kyle. And now we're going to see what took place with this latest situation here and see exactly what they're trying to do. Starting off with Tucker Carlson and a clip from interviewing Kyle. Let's hear it.
Hired in Kenosha in August of 2020 was caught on videotape. That's why he's a free man tonight. There was never any doubt once you looked at the tape that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. But for political reasons, prosecutors in Kenosha ignored the evidence and they charged Rittenhouse with murder and threw him in jail for more than 80 days. Then they hid evidence from the defense. An appalling, appalling example of prosecutorial misconduct. We asked Rittenhouse about that during our conversation last night. Here's what he said.
Here we go.
What did you think of the prosecution?
In my belief, the prosecutorial misconduct in this case is ridiculous. They knew I was innocent, but they still decided to bring these charges to make their name to have a name. They wanted my head on their shelf. There's this FBI surveillance plane. May I remind you, it is illegal to surveil U.S. citizens, but the FBI still had a plane up. And then they tried to twist it and say I was chasing down Mr. Rosenbaum.
Oh, okay.
Never happened. And the funny thing is, we were not provided that drone footage until October.
Now, and you know what this sounds like, guys? How those Democrats used to treat black folks when they was in court back in the day. Uh-huh. How they used to manipulate the data. How they would come up with stuff just to make a black man guilty. But yet, for some reason, now black people are defending these types of behaviors from the prosecution. Same way that they went ahead and went and found a crime with Trump. See, they went and found one. Uh-huh. They ain't have no crime. They have no evidence, no predicate. But they went and saw, you know, digging info. See, and yet they convinced a lot of these liberal white folks and angry black folks to support the same tactics that they've been complaining about forever. Man, they be playing evidence on us. Man, they be manipulating evidence. Man, they be all with. And now we're seeing it. But because it's being done to a man who the media told was a white nationalist, a racist, then they overlooked that stuff with Trump. Same thing with Kyle. All this stuff they did, but because the media did their part in manipulating a large population of people to think that this white nationalist is just trying to get off, they were willing to overlook all of that corruption, all of the evidence, all of the improper decisions from the prosecution. They were overlooking that. Let's continue.
They had it way before, and the FBI gave it to them, and they compressed that FBI drone video and gave it to us. They gave us a compressed version of that file. So they had a 4K drone that showed the shooting of Mr. Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
And then, do you know what handbrake is?
No.
So Assistant District Attorney Cross.
Now, y'all listening to this white nationalist? Are y'all listening to how white nationalistic he sounds? How racist he sounds? Yeah. See, I'm sitting here thinking after listening to the media all of these years talk about white nationalists and how they are. And how, you know, they hate black folks and all of that. I'm expecting this young white boy that they was calling him that came across county, got himself a gun illegally, and decided to go rooting and tooting and shooting black folks for no reason. I did not think he would get up there and sound so educated and intelligent. I thought that you know who, y'all. Yes, man. Yes, that's right, man. I'm back. Bob, you're stereotypical white national Trump supporter, man. That's right, man. See, this one right here, he's a young pup. See, he's not trained in the real arts. So white nationalism, okay, man? This man trying to downplay his white nationalism. Okay? First thing you got to do when you a white nationalist is have a cup of tea fixers missing. Okay? That's the first thing, man. That man up there with all the teeth. What's wrong with him? What kind of white nationalist is this? This that new point 2.0, the 2.7, something like that, the new white nationalist. Second thing, man, you can't be getting up there talking like you got some sense. You got to be getting up there like that white tucker, man. I should have never been there because look at me. Look at me, man. I'm white. I should have never even been rotten it. Shoot, they should have gave me an award for killing all them folks that done teamed up with the blacks and the Latinos and the Mexicans and the Libyans and the Pakistanians and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all of them. Okay? I shouldn't be in the South, man, trying to railroad me because I love my white country. That's what we should have seen, right? But this dude doesn't sound like that. He's talking like he got some sense. In fact, I'm extremely impressed at his level of intelligence because this is the first time besides the trial that I was able to hear this dude talk. This dude knows what he's talking about. And yet they're still trying to paint him as some type of evil white nationalist. That's funny to me. Oh, man.
Had a software installed on his computer called Handbrake. Oh, and this is just speculation, but put two and two together. If we get a decompressed three megabyte file of the drone.
The gigamer jiggers and stuff. That's right, man. They try to mess me up with all of that stuff, the peanut butter, fribulator, and they put something in the jigger. I said, I don't know what that is, man. It's America. So let's continue.
Video when they have an 11 megabyte and he has Handbrake installed on his computer. We got an extremely decompressed version of the
right.
Drone video.
So, I mean, in a normal trial, I mean, that'd be grounds for a mistrial right there. I mean,
right, exactly.
You have to be provided the same evidence that the prosecution is provided by definition.
Mm-hmm. And another very, very, very disgrace in this government is with the FBI drone, they called the camera operator of that drone to testify. ADA Binger asked his questions, and then attorney Mark Richards, great attorney, phenomenal attorney. Mm-hmm. Asked his questions. He asked about the tail number. The state objected, and they said he had a TUI letter from the state attorney, and we weren't able to ask him the tail number so we can submit our FOIA requests, which are still being appealed right now, so we can get the complete version of that night on the drone video.
Now, you hear this stereotypical white nationalist kid who just wanted to kill black folks up here breaking down the details of this corrupt prosecutor? I wonder if MSNBC is watching this interview. I wonder if all the idiots just swarping down this kid killed two black folks. And all those idiots that said that Jacob Blake actually died, all of those people. I wonder if the Young Turks are watching this. I wonder if Joy Reid's watching this. All of them, as this man is talking about how corrupt the prosecution was. Because, see, I thought the news job was to point out and hold all of these other folks accountable to corruption and prosecution. No, no. You know why they didn't do that? Because they're part of that same corruption. They don't care what that prosecutor would have done. I mean, that dude could have cheated blatantly, openly. They wouldn't care. Just like they didn't care that Hillary Clinton paid for that dossier. Just like they didn't care that the FBI changed that information so that they can get that FISA warrant approved. They didn't care about that. Why didn't they care about that? Because they were a part of it. That's why. They're not here to hold them accountable. They're there to assist them with their corruption. Boy, I love exposing this garbage. No wonder my views don't go over 100,000.
He wouldn't give us the tail number. We weren't able to ask him what the tail number was because of the TUI letter that we got the day he testified that supposedly disappeared from attorney Natalie Wisco, another great attorney's email. It just completely magically disappeared from her email because the state said they emailed it, but we never got it.
So dirty. What do you think motivated Binger?
Assistant District Attorney Binger is a corrupt person who just wants to make a name for himself and not look at the facts. I used to be a fan of the prosecutors. Not anymore. I believe there's still good prosecuting attorneys out there.
So see what these Democrats are doing? They messing with the minds of our young people. Where our young people are bushy-tailed and bright-eyed, and they want to see everything through the rose-colored glasses and want Lady Justice to remain blind. But no, they gave him a heavy dose of corruption, the reality of it, by trying to destroy this human's life, knowing that he was innocent. Two groups of folks, three actually. You got the media, you got the prosecution, and then you got these raggedy politicians starting with creepy, sleepy, sleazy, slimy, sloppy Joe.
But he is a prosecuting attorney that wants to make a name for himself, and he's supposed to speak the truth and nothing but the truth.
Out of the mouth.
But he decided he wanted to lie and try to put me in prison for the rest of my life for defending myself.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that must be shocking for you as a kid to realize the system can destroy someone who they know doesn't deserve to be destroyed just for political reasons.
It's sickening because this is a case that never had, that should had, this is a case that has nothing to do with politics, but politics were brought into it for people's own agenda.
No wonder. So this young man is sitting here reading everybody's card. This young man right here is talking like he's a grown man, a seasoned grown man who is really able to see all of the elements that contributed to this chaos. And honestly, I have to commend him. When Tucker was asking him about certain people, he handled it with respect because I don't know if I'd have been so cool. So how do you feel about the prosecutor and all that his hand? Man, that sucker. Man, if I see that dude on the street, I'm going to bust his skull to the white meat. Man, he ain't nothing but a bling, 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 bling. But Cal handled it that way. He's corrupt. When he asked him about the president, Mr. President, will you? I'd be like, that big old bag of bones? That dude right there, that senile, stinking, corrupt, funky, doo-doo smelling, doo-doo stained, doo-doo brown, y'all doo-doo brown, y'all doo-doo brown. I'm gonna rock. I'm sorry, let me get back to it. This dude right here is a bunch. I would have went crazy after being called a white nationalist, y'all, by the president of the United States. And I hope they sue creepy, sleepy, sleepy, slimy, sleazy, sloppy them, that diaper off of him. I hope they sue his diaper off. That's what I hope.
Quickly to the United States and the Kyle Rittenhouse situation. Now, as you know, he has been found not guilty of murder. Now, they decided not to charge him with manslaughter, which very obviously he was guilty of, but they decided to go for the full murder charge, that he intentionally decided to kill people. But anyone who actually watched the trial knows that a bloke, one of those that he shot, had a gun aimed at him. Another bloke bashed him over the head with a skateboard. This was clearly an act of self-defense. Here was the moment in the court.
The unfortunate message vindication and making
a
hero.
Hold on. He's sitting there with Anderson. Hey, make sure that you keep the camera above the table. Okay, we don't know. Right now they're panning out and zooming in, and I don't know what's going on under that table. We don't know. So let's keep the camera up. We never know with Jeffrey. But here we go.
Of Kyle Rittenhouse is appalling, but the actual verdict in this courtroom based on this evidence is a defensible one, I think.
What?
Oh, so hang on. If you actually pay attention to the evidence in the court, It's obvious why they made the decision, but the decision is wrong because of how others will perceive it?
That's what we're dealing with. This man just talked out both sides of his neck. I mean, even though the evidence is there, let's convict this man because folks are angry and the mob is upset, and we don't want to create the perception that we let this white nationalist go, okay? We don't want folks thinking that they could go across county lines and they have a gun and they can defend themselves with it. We don't want that, the optics of it. We don't want folks thinking that if Black Lives Matter and Antifa come to your neighborhood and start burning your stuff and then decide to attack you, we don't want you thinking you could shoot them for doing that. The optics of it. Now, granted, evidence shows that everything you did, yeah, that pretty much was right. But the optics of it. This is how corrupt they are.
This is not a justice system. This is upside down world.
Thank you.
And even why would so many people have that particular view? And why would they have protests straight after if you follow the evidence, the verdict was clear?
Yeah.
The verdict was just?
Yeah.
The verdict was right?
Right.
Because they've been fed crap like this for 2 years.
Like what, man?
I find these people disgusting, Ellie. I'm disgusted at what I'm seeing. It's not just this trial, it's other trials. But this in particular, the fact that white supremacists roam the halls of Congress freely and celebrate this little murderous white supremacist, and the fact that he gets to walk the streets freely, it lets you know these people have access to instituting laws. They represent the legislative branch of this country. What are we to make of that?
Welcome to the modern Republican Party. And this is what a majority of white people vote for, right? When I say that a majority of white people are in favor of this kind of violence, it is because a majority of white people consistently vote Republican. Matt Gaetz is giving...
Music hitting your heart because I know you got soul, brothers and sisters. That's right. You're telling me that these folks are mad, protesting and all that other stuff. You're right, man, from Australia. How can you see it that far away? You're all the way down there. You're all the way down there. But you're able to see what led to all these angry folks thinking that this was a just verdict based on this type of stuff that I just listened to. The angry black lady on a white network, and then also an angry black man with a big old gray afro lying and blaming white people for everything. That's why they're mad. Let's continue.
The white folks, what they want. Look at it. Look at yourselves.
Look at yourself.
It's gross.
You know he shot white people, right? In an act of self-defense. But
see, this is common sense. Even a man from down under said, you know he shot white people in self-defense. But anyway, so why can't those folks watching the trial come to that same conclusion? Oh, because of what we just heard. They're too lazy to watch the details of the trial. They've already been polluted when it comes down to being mad for nothing. They don't care about all the details and the facts and the evidence. They just want blood. They have trained these folks to just say, we want blood. Don't give us the details. Just give us blood. That's it, man. Tell us where to go. Point us in a direction. We're going to attack it.
And believe it or not, this complete distortion, despite the fact that the bloke on CNN said that if you actually follow the evidence, then the verdict was obvious.
And he is a bloke.
He made it all the way to the Vice President of the United States. This was really her reaction to a jury trial, something where if the evidence had suggested that he should have been found guilty of murder, he would have been.
As many of you know, I've spent a majority of my career working to make the criminal justice system more equitable, and clearly there's a lot more work
to
do.
Did you all know that?
Thanks.
What? You locked up thousands of black people for drug charges like marijuana. And by the way, rather than just...
You know it's bad. You know it's bad. When the man down under knows her history, all the way from Australia, he's like, that chick locked up black folks. As many of you may know, that I've worked hard for the criminal justice system, but she left some details out. Worked hard to make sure I locked black folks up for, like, minor drug charges. She left that part out, though. Okay. And then walked off. Walked off. Bounced. Don't ask me nothing. Okay. Now, guess what, y'all? That same person we just heard from? Did y'all know that she was our president? Hold on, here we go.
As being the most unimpressive and unpopular vice president in United States modern history, Kamala Harris was actually the full powers of the president for a little while because Joe Biden had a colonoscopy, and CNN decided to pretend it was history.
It's a moment that, but it is a moment that will be noted in the history books that America, for an hour and 25 minutes, had a woman commander-in-chief.
I just went to my phone to look at the date. November 19th, 2021. It is the first time that a woman
a woman of color had presidential power. It was brief, but it happened, and it is a moment to mark in history. At some point, maybe in our lifetime, there will be a woman who is elected to the highest office in the land.
I would say
that has not happened.
Disappointing that this is this is how we get to this point.
Through a colonoscopy.
Yeah. All of you. Your whole party comes through a colonoscopy. Y'all all came out the poop shooter. Okay, the Dookie Shoot. They are the Dookie Shoot party. The Dookie Shoot Dems. So, yes, I'm not surprised she got there through colostomy because Joe did too. Okay, so here they are trying their best to fit this narrative. She's a human. She did some things in life. She breathes. And let's see, how can we? Look at her. She's right there. She's alive. And that's something to be celebrated. We did stuff. And the guy here who's showing this from Australia, he's drinking his water. Let's see his response.
Drink in the moment. 2024 cannot come fast enough. But till then, enjoy doing this to yourself, Democrats.
Please. I hope they continue with this stupidity. I hope they still continue thinking that all Americans are dumb and we don't know what's going on. That dude got it right on the head. He ain't even an American. He's hoping 2024 comes. He can't even vote in our system. He's like, yeah. Keep doing this to yourself. So now, guys, let's go ahead and switch it up because now we all know. We done heard a little bit about how they felt about Kyle and stuff. But something took place the other day where some random black dude just decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run through a whole bunch of folks that's out there marching. And then, of course, you know, I would think that this is a pretty big situation here. So we're going to kind of see how the media handled it and how they feel about it and see if we can flesh out some more details and insight to this before we close tonight. So starting off with someone from Black Lives Matter, that guy that we listened to yesterday on my show that was out there talking about how, you know what, y'all think y'all got to win, but you know what, y'all going to see. Hey, wait, we're going to send some white kids to y'all in there about that guy. All right, let's listen to his take.
I don't know. Now, we don't have to wait and see, because they got somebody in custody. We may have to wait and see what they say about why this happened. But it sounds possible that the revolution has started.
Revolution? What revolution is this,
brother? Y'all are repeating some of the stuff that, you know, that has come up. And I did tell you that the initial person who reached out to me said that they believe that this has to do with the verdict. And so I made an assumption of which side it would be from, but I don't know. Sounds like somebody, multiple people, and I don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm not going to repeat it.
So this is...
So y'all hear that? Now, think about if this was a white dude who ran through a group of black folks. And then some white guy gets on his little thing and says, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like this could be the revolution that started. Do you understand how every single one of these raggedy networks that we just listened to called Kyle a white nationalist? He's a murderer. He's a, what do you call that? He's an active shooter, all of that. Do you understand what that would do? Do you understand how quick the Department of Justice will get involved in this? Do you understand how quick the FBI would be all over this, talking about some white nationalist extremists that are planning a revolution? This dude is openly talking about some revolution. Does he know what he wants? Because, see, here's what I don't understand. This man right here is delusional. Because when he says a revolution and he's referring to a violent act, he thinks it would be a revolution between black and white people. And all of a sudden, just because folks are black and angry, all the rest of the black and non-angry folks who understand this has nothing to do with black and white. The folks that's trying to push this revolution is trying to push a revolution based on our culture, our society. They don't want us loving the country and wanting to keep the country like it is versus destroying the country. So when I fight for justice and think about things I'm willing to go and fight for and save. It ain't black, white, racial. It's what the Constitution provides in regards to my freedoms, my safety, and my rights. That's the revolution that, if it was to ever take place, would boggle the mind of black folks who think that other black folks are seeing this through the lens of race. Hey, they might look over and see me with my AR with patriots and go, man, you a sellout. No. See, you think we're fighting a race war. What if we fought that race war, and let's just say we won, the white folks that encourage you to fight it would then implement what they've been wanting to implement anyway. They would take away all those freedoms after everything's destroyed. After you get rid of all the patriots, then they will step in and say, great job, black people and white liberals and all of the media. Thank you for doing our bidding. Now we don't have to worry about folks voting against us. Now we ain't got to worry about folks saying, why are you changing up the voting laws? Why are you doing this? We ain't got to worry about that no more. See, we ain't got to worry about folks talking about we are not a global country. We're a sovereign nation. We ain't got to worry about that no more, because y'all took care of that thinking that it was a black-white issue. And it wasn't. So guess what would happen? Smart, patriotic blacks, Latinos, and all of that who see the real game would be over there with the patriots and not seeing it through the lens of race. And guess what? Those are the same people who are a lot more organized and understand laws. They understand Second Amendment. They actually go and say, you know what? Let me buy ammo. Let me stock up on this. Let me think ahead of time. These impulsive, emotional reacting folks, like the dude who probably just got mad and said, man, I was just thinking about this verdict yesterday. Know what I'm going to do? Do you think conservatives, if there was the revolution that this dude is talking about, would do something like that? I know I wouldn't. I mean, if it's going down, I would be on there. Nah, yeah, it's a revolution getting started. I wouldn't be doing that. Yeah, see, so this guy don't know what he's asking for. This guy thinks it's a black and white issue. And if the real revolution started like he's trying to suggest, that would mean all 30,000, a million, I'm sorry, all 30 million plus guns the conservatives own. We never came off the bench doing all of those riots. We never came off the bench doing all of that looting and tearing up and stuff. We just watched it from afar. Can you imagine if we would have all said, that's it, they want it, they're going to have it. Democrats don't care. They're letting this stuff go down. Let's come off the bench. Now, you think Antifa would be running around still burning stuff? You think Black Lives Matter would be still going around, man, Black Lives Matter, we shut this Mickey Feet down. See, as they're out there doing that crap, real folks who knows what's going on, we shut this Mickey Feet down. Uh-oh, they're shooting. See, so these cats don't know what they're talking about. But yeah, here's this idiot out there saying, it's about the revolution. Let's hear about what he thinks is a form of revolution. Listen to what the details are. This is from CNN.
Here we go. The Waukesha Christmas Parade, and there were a lot of people there, especially a lot of families with young children. You know, just in a spot where I was sitting, you know, almost every family had children there with blankets and candy bags, and you know, people were there to enjoy the holiday season.
So that's how you start the revolution? Running over women and kids and elderly people? That's some revolution, man. Okay, here we go.
As we were heading back towards Main Street, that's when I saw the SUV just zooming down along the parade route, and then all of a sudden heard this loud bang. And immediately deafening cries and screams from people at the area, people at the parade.
These are people you want on your squad if you in the revolution. That sounds like Al-Qaeda, the Taliban. Hey, how about you just run in and sacrifice yourself and kill up a whole bunch of innocent women and children and elderly people? That's not organized. Do you think if the real revolution started, we would be doing stuff like that? That man, I wouldn't want to own him. I wouldn't want to say this dude's on my squad. He's a part of the revolution, because that would only encourage the enemy to go ahead and destroy all of y'all. If you send a stupid dummy like this in there to just go ahead and run over a whole bunch of women and children and elderly, and you're talking about sound like the revolution might have started. That's the best? That's your guy who started the revolution? What a dummy.
hear a bunch of people start to scream. And your first thought is maybe it's Santa Claus, right? Santa comes at the end of the parade. Maybe people are excited.
Maybe this lady don't know enough about the tone and pitch of screams of anger and passion, just like your mama and them. See, my mom and them knew that I'm really hurt scream versus I'm just annoyed whining and crying. You know, when I was a kid, she like, leave him alone. He'll be all right. Let him cry himself to sleep versus she's like, he just fell off the bed, bust his head open to the white meat. See, hang out with a couple black crowds. You know the difference. And when we all, but downtown, it's a difference when a famous person, oh, yeah, yeah, versus they shoot. That's a different look on the face, different scream, all of that. Maybe she ain't discerning the situation because she thought it was Santa Claus. I'm pretty sure I would know the difference. I'm like, no, that's not a Santa Claus sound right there. That's a somebody doing something crazy sound.
But the next thing you see is a red SUV barreling down the middle of the street, going 30 miles per hour, and you see it hit people. You know, it doesn't stop, and it keeps going down that street. There, I can tell you for sure that I saw four people on the ground. So we got back towards the building. We were standing around, and as he went by, it was kind of slow motion. So I went out there. The first gentleman we saw on the ground, had people by him. He was alert and oriented, awake. So we moved on from him across the road, and that's when we came across the little boy that was in the road, turning purple. I didn't really have to do CPR on him, but I felt his neck for a pulse, and he had one, but his eyes were barely open. And what blows my mind is that it's all kids in the parade. Like, it's all
it's
kids.
It's just a parade of kids.
And that black dude, along with what you're about to hear, some people even in the news and on Twitter, for some reason think this is okay. For some reason think this is justified or payback or something like that, or isn't that serious? Because it's just a little white kid who got ran over and died. Honestly, and I'm just between us, y'all, everybody come in. Come on in here. Come on. We family. If I was there, I'm not sure if that guy, if I was able to get my hands on that guy after seeing what he did. Because she noticed what she said. This man didn't hit nobody and pump the brakes. Oh, shoot, I hit somebody. No, it was I hit somebody and I'm glad. Matter of fact, I see somebody over here I want to hit too. And then over here. That means it was malicious and it was intentional. So he's probably lucky that he got home before they arrested him or whatever, because I'm thinking if I was there and one of my kids, or even if one of my kids didn't, if it was just I'm there and I witnessed all of these folks just get ran over by this dude, and he happens to hit a fire hydrant or something, and I get the chance to drag him out that car, I'm not sure if he would have made it into the hospital or into the police station or whatever. He might have got choked to death right there. Yeah, might have got choked to death. We would never know what motivated him, as the Black Lives Matter dude was talking about. We don't know. We don't know, but I'm just saying. Well, whatever it was evil. And whatever motivated him, okay, caused him to kill kids, elderly folks, women, all of that. So I don't care what the motive was, okay? That man deserves the business, period. But let's continue, though. Here we go. Here's Tucker, because he's going to talk about it, too.
Good evening, and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Last Friday, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted of all charges against him in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Just 2 days later, a Black nationalist BLM supporter drove an SUV through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. It was a slaughter. Six people were killed, including three grandmothers and an eight-year-old boy. 47 people were injured very badly, many of them children. Here's one witness's description of the scene.
We were sitting, my daughter was sitting at my feet, and I was standing above her. And what I saw was a red SUV run over a gentleman. I think it was a gentleman in a costume. His body was trampled by both the front and the back wheels.
Police say the man who did this is a career criminal called Daryl Brooks. As of tonight, Brooks has not publicly explained why he committed mass murder. Instead, the media and local authorities have decided to speak for him.
Well, they have.
And the main thing they want you to know...
Okay, now wait a minute. Because they also decided to speak for Kyle as well. Y'all remember that? So he's a white nationalist going to find trouble, cross county lines. His mother drove him over there with an illegal gun just so he can go ahead and provoke these people and so he can kill them. Because he's in a part of a militia and he's a white nationalist. So they spoke for Kyle too. So I'm pretty sure they're going to speak for this guy too. They're going to come in and say, this dude right here is a black nationalist. This dude right here is a thug with a record who went in there and he killed these folks maliciously based on all of our propaganda and manipulation to get him mad for nothing. This dude, no, they're going to do that. They're going to speak for him too. So let's
see. No, is that these killings had absolutely nothing to do with the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict just 2 days before. Nothing whatsoever.
Nothing?
The timing is just one of those amazing coincidences. Huh. Quote, there is no evidence that this is a terrorist incident, announced Waukesha's chief of police.
Wait a minute. So wait, there was no evidence that Kyle was a white nationalist, active shooter, a part of a militia, a terrorist, all of that. No evidence. But he was called that by the president and all the news media. But now all of a sudden, don't call this man no terrorist without evidence. Even though there was no evidence that those folks on the 6th that was meandering around the Capitol building was terrorists. But yet, for some reason, they're all labeled domestic terrorists. Even though there was no evidence that they were insurrectionists. But for some reason, the Democrats constantly get up there and call them insurrectionists and all of that. That's crazy how that happens, isn't it? Let's continue, though.
But if indiscriminately murdering women and children at a Christmas parade isn't terrorism, then what exactly is it? Well, it's a vehicular mishap. Here's how Twitter's in-house news team described it, quote,
what?
Five people dead and more than 40 injured after car drives through parade. Car is the fault of the red SUV.
See?
Other news organizations had another explanation handy. It turns out they told us that Brooks was fleeing from a knife fight. The implication, of course, was that he got spooked and drove through the parade by accident, as you do. Then MSNBC took this theory a step further and suggested the police had somehow goaded Daryl Brooks into driving into people by firing a gun at him.
So wait, y'all didn't know that? That's a common procedure in reaction to a knife fight that you in. Every person that gets into a knife fight right after, they say, you know what? I'm lucky to be alive from that knife fight. So to top it off, I'm going to go find a crowd of people and run them over. That's the way we, kind of lower the tension and stuff after our knife fights. You didn't know that? Accordingly, to this guy right here, he does. Listen.
Watch.
The reports from NBC reporters is that maybe he was in a knife fight, an altercation or a stabbing. Well, I've been to stabbings, and I'm telling you, they're very bloody events.
Oh.
And the perpetrators or the participants often have blood all over them, even if it's coming from a victim they stab. Or they may get cut themselves if it's a knife fight. And they often run with the bloody knife. So this guy might have been in the car, bloody knife, blood all over him. He saw the police barricade at the parade route, busted through it, the officer fired, and then he was going to do anything, he or they, to get away when he ran over these band members in just an act of really cold-blooded murder.
So this guy worked overtime on that narrative. Did y'all hear the level of contortion that it took to even say that? Did y'all hear the level of propaganda and prostitution that man just had to go through? There's been sightings of big feet in those areas. The big feet have a tendency to put that big foot on someone. And then if it's a bigger big foot, this is the biggest big foot. The big foot could cause someone to react and poke that foot. And if the foot is poked properly, then the blood shoots on you and that foot get in your eye and that foot juice. And then that can cause you to start driving off trying to get the foot blood juice out of your eyeballs. And then you see a barricade, instead of going around it or stopping, for some reason you decide I'm going to run through that barricade. And then when they shoot at you to stop you, because you're all dazed by the foot juice, blood from the Bigfoot, then you just decide, you know what, Bigfoot's still chasing me. He's still chasing me. And I got to run all these people. And yes, that could happen. Back to you, Joy Reed. That man just went through all of that crap to try to convince us a possibility. They didn't work that hard for Kyle. Huh?
So Brooks was doing whatever he could to get away from the police. So effectively, it's the cops' fault.
That's right.
Except, no, that's not what happened. Eyewitnesses, many eyewitnesses, described Brooks zigzagging down the street, trying to murder as many innocent people as he could.
Yes.
These killings were absolutely intentional. And no, Brooks was not being chased by the police. That's a lie. So much for that theory. So the question remains, why did Daryl Brooks commit mass murder in Waukesha?
Good question.
The media don't seem interested in finding out, not even a little bit. So they decided to ignore the story completely. And they are. Subpoenas to Roger Stone from some fake congressional committee are apparently more important than six deaths.
Not that.
Like the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, as far as the national media are concerned, it's simply not happening.
Not that.
The more we learn about Daryl Brooks, the easier it is to understand why the media don't want to talk about him.
Yeah,
Brooks' social media feeds are full of racist and black nationalist propaganda.
Oh.
In one of his rap songs, he includes lines from Malcolm X justifying race hate against whites.
No,
he posted a picture of a fruit bowl arranged to display the letters BLM with a raised fist. And not insignificantly, Brooks also criticized the jury's verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. On Facebook, one BLM activist was happy to connect the dots here. He describes Brooks' mass murder as retaliation for the Rittenhouse acquittal.
We may have to wait and see what they say about why this happened. But it sounds like possible that the revolution has started in this town.
The revolution.
Starting with this Christmas parade. The initial person who reached out to me said that they believe that this has to do with the verdict.
This has to do with the verdict. That's the obvious conclusion. Is it true? Again, we have not confirmed it, but we can be absolutely certain that the national media will spend zero time trying to find out. Why? Because they're implicated. News organizations spent more than a year telling us that a case that had precisely nothing to do with race was somehow a referendum on the civil rights of black people and the rise of white supremacy. So if it turns out those lies, and they are lies, got six people murdered, they'll probably be the last to tell us that.
Oh.
We do know that Daryl Brooks never should have...
Y'all hear that? So let me understand this. They were complicit in this mess by convincing folks to be mad for nothing, just like Michael Brown, just like George Floyd, just like the darn one down there, Kenosha, what's his name? I always forget his name. The dude got himself shot seven times. It'll come to me in a minute. It ain't even worth trying to remember. But just like every single one of those cases, the media jumped out there. Just like Nick Sandman, we sat back and heard for days. White boy tried to have engine with just mine and feathers. He wasn't doing nothing. Only to find out, Jacob Blake, thank you. Just like that, folks got mad up front. Oh, how about this? Jesse Smollett. Yep, just like that. There, folks are trying to downplay and say he's lying. Oh, he was lying? Well, let's just move on to the next race-baiting story and narrative. Oh, here we go.
Been on the street in the first place. He was a thoroughly loathsome person.
What?
Want evidence? Well, watch him here brag about pimping his 16-year-old girlfriend.
What?
All of a sudden, now I'm a pedophile. Let me explain that.
Explain.
10 years ago, 2006, I caught a case with my oldest daughter's mama. Yes, my baby mama. I didn't know the was 16 at the time.
Now, y'all hear this dude right here, this model citizen, y'all. Y'all hear him? I'm back, bro. Look, bro. Now, look, man. Okay. All right, man. They tripping. Man, they tripping, bro. I know she ain't had, like, no grown woman features or nothing like that, right, man? And, honestly, man, I should have checked. I mean, I looked at her, right, man. I'm like, oh, dude, she look kind of like she might be in, like, high school, maybe a middle school. But, man, I don't care nothing about that, man. She said, man, she down with it, bro. So forget that, man. Now, listen, man. This hoe, I mean, I'm sorry. Well, can I call her? My baby mama. Okay. My mama hoe, right? She, right? I said, look, well, man, B, you tripping, man. Look, man, I ain't know that hoe versus, no, not you. You the different hoe. You the hoe I love. You the one, the hoe I don't love right there. The one underage, man. I ain't know she 15. Shoot, there's different types of hoes, bro. Different type of hoes. That dude?
She gave a statement to the police and told them, yeah, she was hoeing, that I was pimping, and that she was 16, and that I didn't know that. Okay?
Horrific tragedy in Waukesha, Wisconsin. At
my
least
boy,
five are killed and dozens more injured by a...
Y'all hear that? Y'all hear this dude explain that? Now, here's what's crazy about that. If that was Kyle, okay... they would have tried to find out all about his background and stuff. See, they even tried that and found no evidence of him, you know, having stuff on his Facebook page or his Twitter and all that stuff talking about I'm down with the white nationalists and all of that. Nothing. No background of hoeing and pimping holes and baby mama drama and stuff like that. Nothing. But yet he's an evil man. Huh. That interview I just heard with Kyle sounds totally different from this guy right here explaining why his baby mama and the other hoe was, he didn't know that hoe was too young. He didn't know. So that sounds a lot different. And also, what they both supported sounded totally different. So let's now hear this guy, because he has a good take on why the media is treating us differently.
Black male driving a red SUV at high speed through a Christmas parade. Alleged culprit Daryl Edward Brooks was not exactly a pillar of the community. Released just 2 days prior on bond, he had a lengthy criminal record that included domestic abuse and pimping out a 16-year-old girl. But within hours of the incident, the media told us that the culprit was just fleeing the scene of another crime, and that the incident wasn't at all a targeted attack motivated by politics or race. Uh-oh. It just happened to take place in Wisconsin 2 days after the Rittenhouse verdict. Just a coincidence, I'm sure, because surely the best way to evade police attention when fleeing a crime scene is to run over dozens of people at a Christmas market by deliberately swerving into them. Yeah,
there you go, I didn't know that. That was a very discreet way of getting away from a knife. Let me run over a bunch of people and nobody should even notice. Nothing. Probably telling people to be quiet while you're doing it. Shh. But yet, the media is, I guess, supporting these stupid narratives. And so people like this, who's pointing this out and showing the obvious, you know, bias and corruption of the media, would probably be called a racist and a white nationalist for this. But let's continue.
That makes total sense. Pretty convenient then that the incident definitely wasn't a deliberately targeted attack, uh-uh, given the suspect's political proclivities. Posts made under Brooks' SoundCloud rapper name include the following.
What?
Calls for random violence to be inflicted on white people, a post that referred to white people as the enemy, another post that celebrated violence and enslavement of white people, along with numerous other anti-police posts and others that amplified BLM rhetoric and expressed solidarity with Colin Kaepernick.
So wait a minute. Are you telling me all of that stuff was found on that man's website or his social media platform? That right there would support some type of racism and animus towards white people, wouldn't it? Now, I would think if Kyle was a white nationalist, you would find similar stuff on his social media, right? I mean, that's just common sense, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's see.
One of his songs titled Minnesota name checks BLM icons George Floyd and Eric Garner while asserting, quote, try and use deadly force, we're going to go harder. But I'm sure that we can trust the authorities when they tell us that none of this was a motivating factor, especially given that Daniel Thompson, the police chief of Waukesha, led a Black Lives Matter march in June 2020 and made his officers kneel in homage to the extremist movement.
I didn't think I was going to turn green tonight. I didn't. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. Easy, big guy. Easy. The sun is going down. Shh. The sun's going down. Okay, now I'm back. So the police officer who was over there went to a Black Lives rally and with his uniform on and made all the officers kneel before these idiots. Interesting. And yet another police officer donated to Kyle's defense, and he was fired. Oh, crazy how this all happens.
Kyle Rittenhouse was smeared by the media as a domestic terrorist white supremacist for defending himself legally against a violent mob. Imagine what their reactions would have been to a white person plowing through a BLM rally in Wisconsin, who then, when you check their Facebook page, was also posting violent threats against African Americans and Confederate flags. I think the media may have treated the story somewhat differently. Kyle.
Yeah, because as I was thinking, I can imagine how that would look. Joy Reid immediately would come out like, look, did you see? Did you see it? I told you. I told you, all of you that mocked me about racism and stuff, saying I was a race baiter. No, I'm not a race baiter. This is the America that you all voted for. Look at all of this. White folks killing black folks, running them over, laughing, hanging out the window, screaming, die, black people, die. It would have been crazy, man. Crazy. They would have been shutting down everything. But now we got the right to go in and check everybody's Facebook pages and anybody who has any opinions about black folks that isn't black. We need to arrest them. We need to arrest them. All of that would have been going on. But yet, they're very modest in their approach towards this one.
Bill Rittenhouse shooting three Antifa in self-defense, none of whom were black, is white terrorism. A BLM supporter who made anti-white rap songs, ramming his car through dozens of innocent whites at a Christmas market, just fleeing a crime.
Now, isn't that crazy? I love being smart, though. I love being smart. So this person wrote, wait a minute. So Kyle went over there, never attacked anyone, killed two people in self-defense and shot one other one. And they said he's a domestic terrorist. But the man who had all kind of hateful stuff on his social media, because Kyle didn't have that, and ran over a whole bunch of white folks, and then they find all of this hateful stuff on the social media, was just, we don't want to be prejudging this guy. He was just fleeing, I guess, a knife fight, perhaps, maybe. We don't know. We don't want to reserve judgment for him. But we definitely don't want to go heavy on the domestic terrorism narrative. You understand that? Okay, let's continue.
Brooks was released from Milwaukee County Jail on a paltry $1,000 bail.
That's it.
After the Milwaukee County District Attorney bragged about abolishing bail. So thanks to bail reform in the name of eliminating systemic racism, the killer was set free. I guess it's just another example of black privilege.
Yes.
Leftist entrepreneur and social justice activist Mark Feinberg sardonically tweeted, poor white people, along with a sick joke that the killer was merely acting in self-defense. Then claimed anti-Semitism when people called him out. Mary Lemansky, the...
Y'all hear that? See, this is how callous the left has become. Because, see, they don't understand the difference between big problem and little problem. They don't understand the difference between manufactured racism versus real racism. They don't understand those things. So everything is equal. That's why they was calling Trump Hitler. That's why they love these concentration camps down there. Everything is equal in their eyes. You know what I'm saying? It's the worst, all the way to the top. So if I'm getting this straight, the fact that Kyle killed two white men who attacked him in self-defense versus this dude who's just ran over six folks and some for no reason, no self-defense, no one chasing him, and yet they're trying to say, suck it up. Why y'all tripping? It's the same thing, ain't it? I need my big novelty hand to slap all their faces. Line them up. Just one good slap. Cross all of their faces. This is how dumb our society has gotten. But guess what? It didn't get dumb on its own. It didn't get dumb like this on its own. They've been working on dumbifying these folks for a couple decades, probably about 10, 20, maybe even 30 decades now, of dumbifying it. And now the manifestation of all that dumbism, it's coming out when folks can't see the difference between these two situations and downplaying what just took place with these people getting ran over.
Social media manager for the Democratic Party of DuPage County, Illinois, said the deadly incident is karma. Twitter was also bombarded with messages from other leftists, basically dismissing the gravity of the tragedy because it almost exclusively impacted white people. I guess that's just another example of white privilege. Whether the suspect was fleeing the crime scene or the attack was deliberate doesn't really matter.
Exactly. What he's really saying is it's called Democrat privilege. See, it is Democrat narrative privilege. Black folks can get away with a whole bunch of garbage if it fits the Democrat narrative, and so can white folks. Anybody who can serve that whole narrative, who could fit into that, then guess what? You one of us. They will say, you know what? Forget the fact that the dude who tried to kill Kyle, the dude who tried to kill Kyle had a gun, and he shouldn't have had it. Forget that. Forget the fact that Rosenbaum and Grossberger had a horrible history and past just like this dude, who ran over all these people. Forget all of that. These white folks now are their victims too. How can we slide them into that? Anybody who we could put into the narrative, and it ain't based on black, it ain't based on white, it's based on Democrat narrative privilege. So Let's finish. Here we go.
To the media. They'll drop the story within 48 hours like a hot potato because it doesn't fit the narrative. CNN, there's nothing more frightening today than an angry white man. Awkward timing on that one. A black Korean criminal has just mowed down dozens of people in an SUV. But yeah, it's those dangerous white people we've got to worry about. When any potential motive doesn't bolster the prevailing mainstream narrative, or indeed contradicts it, the entire story is just brushed under the carpet.
Thank you.
Like the Las Vegas massacre, it's a total mystery. I guess we'll just never know.
A bunch of...
Right, there. See, ignorant black person watching, this is where your man is selling, because he ain't protecting and defending black folks. No. See, they wouldn't realize and understand why I'm doing this and exposing this. I'm not on anybody's team, black or white. I'm on America's team. I'm on trying to preserve our country and all of the civil liberties and freedoms that we all benefit off of. Okay. Meaning this, I know why they're pushing these narratives. I know the difference between real racism and made-up concoction racism. I know the difference. If I saw some 100% uncut racism and they're attacking black folks because of 100% uncut racism, you think I'd just stand there and be like, well. But when I see them make up this crap, when I see them using black folks to tear up property, to burn stuff, to get mad on TV and act a fool, when I see that and then they're calling that racism and stuff that they didn't concoction, I'm not going to support that because what they're really trying to do eventually, it's come after my rights, your rights, these dumb black folks' rights, the white dumb liberal rights, all of them. They're coming after all of that. They don't see it. So the squad I'm on is America's squad, our rights. Dang on it. Now let's close out with my girl, y'all. She making me feel sensitive. Uh-huh. I'm emotional. Bring me. Take us home.
Of left-wing gutter trolls over in the social septic tank that is Twitter spent Sunday night gleefully dancing on the graves of children, joking about the horrible events in Waukesha, Wisconsin, in order to mock the Rittenhouse verdict. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world does a guy mowing down a bunch of people in a parade with his SUV have anything to do with a kid who was found not guilty of murder after defending himself against a violent mob that was trying to bash his head in with a skateboard?
Now, I also want to put another statement in. If I saw racist black people jumping and trying to kill or attack a white person, I'd still step in. See, right is right. It's not about, and this is what they're trying to do to our country. They're trying to make us see everything through the lens of not common sense, not the lens of Americans and citizens. It's through white and black. As a black person, I definitely love black people. If I see the mistreatment of black people, yes, I will be down with the cause. But if I see the mistreatment of white people, so would I also do the same thing? If I see the mistreatment of people, especially Americans who are in our country and being mistreated by our own government and the people that have been elected to protect them, when I see that, I got to come off the bench. Now, it ain't got nothing to do with black, white, or nothing. It is the establishment against the people. That's what it is. Dang on it. I just want to put that disclaimer in there before Brittany take us home.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the answer is nothing. But some loony liberals somehow found a way to connect those dots because apparently no level is too low when you're a garbage human being.
A garbage. Oh,
one Illinois Democrat mocking the Waukesha tragedy and saying the SUV was probably just acting in self-defense, later telling Wisconsin that you reap what you sow. Oh, and she is far from the only one. More than a few other leftists joined in the fun. Here's one saying the real tragedy is that the driver didn't plow through a Trump rally. Here's a Black Lives Matter nut saying that as long as the driver is a white MAGA guy, he should just claim self-defense. Another whack job who somehow has 186,000 followers said the driver will just claim self-defense. It's the new normal. There are tons more. Just go on Twitter and look. No, actually, on second thought, don't do that. It is a terrible, terrible place because there's nothing out of bounds for these bloodthirsty trolls, even the gruesome deaths of children in the street. Rittenhouse was a 17-year-old kid who was found not guilty after he shot a pedophile, a domestic abuser, and a violent Antifa thug as they were basically trying to beat him to death. And he has absolutely nothing to do with a bunch of school children who were run down during a parade by a maniac fleeing a crime scene. You know who does have to do with that, though? This guy. This is Daryl E. Brooks, the black man who's been arrested as the guy suspected of plowing through the street, killing at least five, maiming dozens, and traumatizing God only knows how many more. Now, the fact that Brooks is a black man shouldn't amount to a hill of beans, because evil is evil, and I don't care what level of pigment it's got or what color its victims were. But unfortunately, today, it does matter. Apparently, it's just about all that matters. Race is the sole determiner of whether a crime gets talked about by the media for weeks or barely makes the local headlines.
That's great.
Skin color is the only factor when we talk about motive or justice or accountability or whether one person's actions should be used to demonize an entire group of people or political party. We can't talk about the disproportionate levels of violent crime committed by black men.
Yeah.
But we can mock children lying dead in the street in order to slam a white kid who the left wants to hang for defending himself against a bunch of violent looters.
Now, isn't that kind of bizarre? Nobody want to talk about the source of all of this stuff? So, yeah, look at the cops kill black people all the time and this and that. Why are the cops interacting with black people that much anyway? Why are all of these black people being killed by other black people? What percentage of crime is committed by black people? How about we get to the source of that? No. Don't just jump on board when you come across a story of a cop having to kill a black person. I want you to jump on board where it really counts. When black folks are killing black folks all the time and nobody asks why, we don't care about those stats. And if you bring it up, you're a racist. That's what you are. Or you could be a realist. A racist versus a realist. Because see, a realist will say, that's a problem. And it probably bleeds out into society to where they're more likely to respond a certain way if they interact with the police officer. Huh. Interesting. But let's see.
He's automatically a white supremacist because, well, he's white. And if the left has to make light of a senseless tragedy to score some basement floor points against him, so be it. But then race goes right back out the window when it turns out it was a black dude who ran down some innocent parade goers, a dance crew, and the local high school marching band. Now imagine for just one second if this had been a white dude with a gun. Shouldn't matter. A black guy in a truck on the street or a white guy with a rifle in a bell tower. I don't care what warped version of Clue you apply to the situation. Evil is evil. Violence is violence. And it's all horrific.
Yeah.
But had this been a white guy with a matte black firearm, the media would be spending this whole week talking about the epidemic of white male violence, the dangers of semi-fully automatic pistol rifles, and how your Caucasian neighbor with the F-350 is probably a Nazi.
Yeah.
Because everything has to tie in to their war